Welcome to the Big Rectangle Circle with your host,
Derek Thalwell, and about to sneeze, Ivy Jr.
I'm completely fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said, Kerchoo, said Robert, and he looked at me like I was like...
smoking drugs.
Yes. Does anybody know who Robert the Rose Horse is?
No.
You were all deprived children.
We weren't.
Evidently.
No, that means I'm old.
We were born in the 60s.
If you like Robert the Rose Horse, or you know what I'm talking about, shoot a... No, he's not a wrestler.
Sounds like a wrestler.
Shoot
name.
A comment. What's your wrestler
name?
Are we going there?
Yeah, why not, man? That's old Let's stuff. Hear about it.
Luscious Link.
Yes.
Luscious Link.
Look him up, future WWE superstar, after he gets whooped in WWE.
No, get out of here with that. But anyway.
Robert the Rose Horse was originally published in 1962.
Come on now.
1962, I was right.
It's a beautiful book. Hey, there's some things that were created in the 60s that were good stuff.
Obviously, that book.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, anyway, how did we get on this?
I don't know.
Hit us back with it, Luscious Link. Come on. Go ahead and start us off.
I'm getting a drink of my coffee.
Go ahead and hit us with a slogan while we're at it, because I'll hit you with one.
No. All right, here we go, Ted. So, we're in the middle of the story. So, we've talked about, you know, you've had your first child. You've been through the addiction that's basically I'm working for my addiction.
Yeah.
You go out and you steal some radiators. You're in trouble over that. You end up on probation. You got one kid at this point. You're not being a dad.
Pretty much.
You know. And I mean, so many people, just because you can make a kid don't make you a dad.
I guess I was being a dad, but I wasn't being the dad I needed to be.
Right.
I loved my kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But now it's completely different.
It is. It's completely different. Yeah. I mean, we wound up having four kids.
Yeah.
Did you get clean after this time?
No, I was still
rocking.
I was still pretty much. I mean, the meth wasn't. It was there. The weed was really there. That was one of my strongest. Yeah. Things to get rid of was the weed.
So are you hiding this from your children? Are you not? Are they exposed to this? You
know, no.
And I don't want to uncover something you don't want.
No, that's fine. I mean, this is what we're here for.
Yeah, okay.
I was pretty much.
Hey, I like you said that.
Yeah, I mean, I was smoking weed, and I wasn't trying to hide nothing. I mean, I smoked in the car and in the house. Just stupid stuff. Now, as far as the meth went, I hid it.
Yeah.
We done it, I guess, in our bedroom or wherever I could get to do it. So, and I was pretty much just working for farmers around there, feeding a habit.
Yeah.
I actually had some pretty good people I worked for, you know, and I mean.
So they probably don't even know what's going on with you.
No, I could hide the meth pretty good. Now the pot, I mean, they didn't care, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pretty much, and I don't know if they knew or not, but I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, I wasn't trying to hide it from my kids. I should have, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And
well, the should have is we probably should have just not done it.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Well,
I mean,
anyway. So you're just living life. You're feeding the habit.
Pretty much.
What happens?
Just working every day and feeding that habit and taking care of the kids, however I could, you know. And I mean, using my whole paycheck for drugs.
Any more candy bar radiator moments like
no,
I'm not going to be touched?
No, I caught the two felonies on it, and I mean, I never did really get in trouble with the law. I pretty much stayed to
you
myself.
You never popped a drug test when you went in for probation or nothing?
Yeah.
Just a couple
But
times.
I could pass the drug test because it was mostly pot.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
I could drink a gallon of water and pass a drug test for...
You just learned how to work the system.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yep, I know that.
And, I mean, the last couple of years, they got pretty strict. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got to where I wouldn't do it for a little while. I mean, I'd just go to work until it just got so bad that I needed to smoke something, you know what I mean?
And, yeah.
So how are you doing mentally through all of this? I mean.
Terrible.
Okay, let's dive terrible. Into that. Yeah. You say terrible.
I mean, me and my wife at the time we fought every day. I mean, it wasn't a healthy relationship. She was addicted. I was addicted. The kids was getting the butt end of it. I mean,
what
it
were
was,
you fighting about? Money, drugs?
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Whatever there was to fight about, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And we was just, mentally, it was rough on the kids, and it was rough on her, and it was rough on me. And finally, I mean, I just...
So you think it did, like, during that, it damaged.
It did.
Obviously damaged the kids.
Absolutely it did.
During that time.
And I finally, I can't even tell you what year that I decided. It was probably 2014, 2015. I was still doing the meth. I started doing meth pretty heavy again about 2014. And it got really bad for that year.
What was the click that just said no more? Because I don't know. I hadn't heard. Did you go to rehab? Did you just
know that
you had
to quit? Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. Me and my wife at the time, we got in a fight, and my kids was all in there. And she, it sounds stupid now, I mean, but she wouldn't give me my joint. And we was fighting over it, and I accidentally broke her finger.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, that really... really done something to me, you know what I mean?
Well, deeper inside when you know you're actually this good guy and you've just been betraying your emotions with drugs and everything else, and once a reality hits saying, man, I really did that, that kind of hits you a little bit different. I understand.
So you're processing that, all the damage with this, the kids.
Yeah, I mean, this is when the weed and the meth was being mixed together. I mean, you're high up all night. You're smoking weed coming down. Yep. And I mean, your head's just doing a spiral.
Twist. Yeah.
And From that time, I can remember I went deer hunting that next morning after all that happened, after we got back from the hospital and all that. And I told the doctor that she failed. She told the doctor she failed.
I mean, because we're going to cover it up.
Yeah, we're going to cover it up. You know what I mean? And I went deer hunting that next morning. And I was with some friends that lived down the road, and They done drugs too, you know what I mean? And we deer hunted all day. Trevor was with me, and we killed a deer that day. And I mean, it was a pretty emotional day, you know what I mean? We really had a good time, and I can remember coming home that afternoon, and we got to fighting again, and everybody was down there. And I went outside and I started praying. I was like, man, there's got to be something better than this. You know what I mean?
Yep. So before this, had you prayed?
Nope.
What made you? I mean, where did that?
I guess
from?
I got convicted.
Well, I mean, where did that come from?
Knowing that there could be hope.
Yeah.
There had to been some hope. I just knew there was something better than what I was doing then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I prayed about it. I mean, I sit out there.
Your prayer? Tell me what your prayer was.
Well, I'm going to back up just a little bit. That same afternoon, we was fighting. I went out there and I took a shotgun and I tried to shoot myself. Wow. And I didn't have the gun far enough under my chin. It went right through the roof. And that's when I started praying. I was like, Lord, you must have something for me. I mean, I know the Lord because I growed up in church.
Right.
I mean, my grandma had me in the church house at a young age.
Right.
And I knew there was a Lord, you know what I'm saying? I never did try to seek him.
Yeah.
Because I was doing dumb stuff. And
so you tried to kill yourself.
The brink of death.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I didn't want to live that life no more.
Ain't it wild when you go back and you look at those stories? Because when I get to sit in your seat and talk about the before, the middle, and the after, I remember events in my life where it's almost like the Lord just grabbed it away.
Yeah,
just pushed it right in front of my face as a big wake-up call. So I remember that.
I can remember the guy that was with me. His name was David. He come out. I was sitting at the swimming pool. He said, man, he said, it's going to be all right. I said, yeah, I know it is. He said, there's got to be something better than this. I said, we ain't doing nothing but wasting our lives and messing our kids up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And my kids was my biggest thing at that time.
Yeah.
And I seen what we was doing to them, and I was like, man, I can't do it no more.
So deep in, you always want to be the dad that they needed to be.
Absolutely.
That's apparent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just figuring out the steps to get there was the difficult part.
So what was your prayer? Experience. You don't mind me asking, what do you remember?
I don't even remember. I know I just prayed, Lord, show me something and help me to quit this, I'm doing now.
You couldn't see past it. You just knew you had to.
That's right.
Something had to
change. And I mean, it was 6 months. I quit the meth. I didn't do meth
anymore. After that day?
I was still smoking pot. The pot was pretty much my vice, just like anything. Yep. Just like people drinking alcohol or anything like that. That's what I did.
So when you smoked pot, what did it do for you? Was there, did it curb anxiety? Did it just mellow you out?
Curbed anxiety. I mean, I didn't worry. I cared. I loved.
Mm-hmm. So it shut down the worry in your brain.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it pretty much relaxed me. That was my relaxation. That was my vice. Yeah.
So, if you don't mind me asking, after attempted suicide, did those thoughts stay with you over your life, or have they?
They did for a while. I mean, but I was messed up then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And after I quit that meth, mm-hmm. that was a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
That stuff can stay in your system though for a good. I mean, not even just staying in your system from a like a standpoint of actually it being in your system, but it can mess with your mind up to 1 to 2 years, I believe, is when I read it. Because
really?
We need to look that up. But wow. I remember studying on that when I got out of John 3. You know, I still
y'all
had some
Google
things.
That if you don't mind.
I still had some things going on in my head, and I was wondering. I was like, well, these are just that. It's the aftermath of meth use.
Wow.
Though it's out of your system, your mind's still trying to recover being sped up for long.
That's so wild. Interesting. All right, we're going to go to commercial. Thank you, all of our sponsors. We'll be right back with our guest. I did that again. Right back with our guest, Teddy Sharp.
J&M Trailer Sales and Service. J&M Trailer Sales and Service. Huge selection of trailers, trailer repair, and prices so low, it's stupid. Also, if you don't want to commit to buying a trailer or a piece of equipment, they rent it out as well. Trailers, car haulers, skid steer, excavators. J&M Trailer Sales, located at 2510 South 2nd Avenue, Paragould, Arkansas. Leisure Comfort. At Leisure Comfort Heat and Air, we provide friendly heating and air conditioning repairs done right. We repair all major brands and give reliable options to get your system working properly. In the unfortunate event that a new equipment is necessary, we can make the installation seamless and easy. We install all major brands with free estimates and flexible financing options. Upgrading your HVAC system has never been easier. Whether you're looking for HVAC system, repairs, seasonal maintenance, new equipment, or general construction needs, our trained technicians will get you on the best path to enjoying a comfortable home environment. Quality Voices. Quality Voices is hiring now for a daytime and nighttime shift. They are a faith-based company that works on behalf of political endeavors and nonprofit organizations. You can fill out an application at 1413 Marketplace, Suites E and F. They have great management, great family, great atmosphere, and a great environment. Quality Voices, Jonesboro, Arkansas. Sharp Custom Hauling. They serve all of Northeast Arkansas and haul a variety of materials, chat, gravel, fill, sand, dirt, and much, much more. Need your land cleared? Parking lot, building pad, dirt work, driveways, and bush hogging. We offer free estimates and competitive pricing and financing available as well. Sharp Custom Hauling. We can get her done. Welcome back to the Big Circle.
All right. So thank you, Teddy, again for being here, and I'm enjoying this. We're enjoying this. So we get back. We did have somebody Google what we were talking about, look up a little bit of information. So that damage when you stop using meth, 14 months before you even completely, that stuff starts getting out of your brain.
Yeah. It gets out of your body, but it doesn't get out of your mind.
Man, that's so crazy. Yeah. And you know, now going back and trying to help people that are recovering, you see how they'll just come up with the most outlandish stuff, and you can't convince them otherwise. Because the mind has convinced them it's so true that everything else looks like the lie.
Even though they're sober, it's still hard to convince the mind what the mind doesn't want to be convinced of because it can't be convinced. It's
it's stoppage. Crazy. Was there like paranoia and all that during all that? Or
man, I'm going to be honest. After I prayed the prayer that I prayed, I can remember now, I mean, I prayed for the Lord to take that away from me, the at least the meth, you know what I mean?
Right.
Do something to make me not want it.
Right. Yeah.
And
so when you do that, is your wife at the time, is she still using?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. She.
So how are you dealing with that?
Man, it's hard. She was She was there. She didn't want to quit.
So is your now your arguments are
terrible.
You're doing math.
Yeah.
You know.
And from that point on, a couple weeks later, I mean, it started hitting me really hard. I mean, we were still doing the meth, and it was getting to where it was making me sick. I'm talking about throwing up, deathly throwing up sick.
Wow.
To do it. The pot wouldn't, but the meth would.
Wow.
I mean, I could smoke some meth, and I mean, I'd just puke for 2 days.
Wow.
So, and I really...
Has anything like that ever had that effect on you?
Puke, like...
Like just body... Like mess up your mind, your body. I know it did your mind.
My mind, body aches, the unwillingness to do anything that was just productive. Yeah. Just forget it. I'm gonna lay in bed
couch
for 5
potato.
Days straight.
Yeah. Really,
5 days straight, and just figure out how I'm going to recoup from this. Because even though once it flushes through your system, you're still figuring out how to do life.
Wow.
Right.
So I remember sitting in my apartment at one time, detoxing. And just thinking to myself, man, this just sucks. And even after the detox, man, this just sucks.
Yeah.
I don't have any enjoyment in anything I do. I try to go to the gym, just can't doing the motion. I try to read a book, and, man, it just all sucked. Watch TV, it just wasn't the same.
Right.
But I also didn't put different things into the picture. I didn't put the Lord into the picture. I didn't put relationships into the picture.
You were just trying not to be a dopehead.
I was just trying not to be a dopehead.
Yeah.
And
that don't work.
I'd already burned all the relationships, burned the family, dad's gone. So it was extra hard, you know. I mean, not to quit the drugs, but extra hard to deal with all the shame after it was all said and done.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
So do you, while you're going through this, you're off the meth, you're getting off the meth, your wife at the time still doing it.
Right.
How does that all come to a head, or what happens?
I think the smoking the weed's really what helped me get off the meth, and she was still doing both. I mean, that's just what it was. But I just got to where if I had my weed, I was good. You know what I mean?
Well, you've been smoking weed since you were, what, 13 years old, you said? So that
absolutely
was just normal.
Smoked it up until 7-8 years ago.
Yep. Yeah. And that was just a normal way of life, even before the meth was introduced. It was like, well, I'm just going to smoke weed. I'll be fine with just pot. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she left me one day and took all the kids. I can remember it. She never did cheat on me. She never did do anything. But I guess I wouldn't say loved me. I guess she did love me because we was together for 11 years. And that's whenever it really changed for me. You know what I'm saying? I went and found her, and she was with another guy and had all my kids with her. Yeah. And I was off the meth. I've been off the meth for a month, 2 months. I was still smoking my weed, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit for about a month. In 10 or 15 days.
Quit everything?
Quit everything. And I went and got my kids one day, and I never did take them back. And she still continued to do her thing and do her drugs, whatever.
So you got cleared up thinking, I got to go get my kids.
That's right. I got cleared up thinking that I was fixing to do whatever I had to do to get my kids and get out of that life.
Yeah.
As far as going to court, whatever I needed to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But,
and you knew you couldn't go to court, go do all that stuff.
Well, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, after I got my kids, she never did pursue it. Never did pursue it. And I went back to smoking my pot a little bit, which that was my vice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what kept me relaxed. I done what I had to for my kids. I worked a full-time job. I worked over at Blyville at that time, got CDLs. I mean, I was off and on the weed.
So how are you taking care of the kids by yourself in all this? Or what?
My mother.
Your mother.
Yeah, I was living with my mom at the time after me and her split up. And I was working a full-time job. Mom was taking care of the kids. They was going to school.
So suicide, all that stuff, all that's out of the picture now?
All of it's out of the picture. She was out of the picture pretty much. I mean, she was doing her own thing.
Right.
And
did y'all never have much conversation after that about?
No.
Yeah. And y'all ended up, I guess, you got a divorce, obviously.
Got a divorce.
How long after you got the kids did that happen?
I got a divorce in 2015, so probably about a year after we split, and that's when I was really starting to do. I developed a relationship with my grandpa again. My grandma, she passed away at an early age, so she passed away in 97, so she was there for a long time. She's the one that showed me what church was, you know what I mean?
Right. And so you start trying to enter a relationship again with your grandfather. How does that look? Is he a little concerned? Skeptical?
Yeah. I will be honest. It was. He had actually had some stuff stolen. He thought it was me.
Yeah.
Because I got in trouble and got felonies for thieving. Never did thieve nothing in my life until that time.
Yeah.
Right.
And to this day, I mean, this went on for a while. He wouldn't hardly have nothing to do with me, but he was always there. He loved me. And
tough love.
Right.
It's crazy how when you make a decision to do something foolish,
yes,
for whatever reason, it takes a while to overcome that.
Man, it does. It takes a while to overcome it mentally. It takes a while to overcome it for other people.
Yeah.
Seeing what you did at that time, you know what I mean?
That's like, I tell these guys in ministry, man, but it's not just ministry, it's anybody. When you do something foolish, you're already in the public eye.
Yep.
Right.
People are going to know.
Yep.
They're going to see it. All you're doing is damaging yourself.
That's it.
And and then you're going to be mad at people that don't want to trust you.
Yeah.
When you've already done something that's untrustworthy.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yes.
So many times we say, well, I don't feel that way now. Everybody treat me different.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sober. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to stuff like that, is in recovery, your first year, everybody's going to think you're a fraud.
Yeah. Yep.
Second year, they're going to say, oh, we're still waiting on it.
Yeah.
Third year, something clicks. Man, something's different.
Yeah.
Something's different. Fourth year, we're going to keep watching, but man, he might have this licked. I don't know. But what's next? I mean, you're still always going to be questioned. That's okay, but that should keep you motivated.
And you get to a point finally
where you just don't care.
None of those people are even there anymore.
That's it.
And they do believe in you.
And absolutely.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Pretty much got to tune out the negative people.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be negative people. Yeah. I mean,
well, and that's why you got to have your five, too.
That's right.
Five people.
You got
to
have
even the damage that it does to your family, we were talking the other day. We were having a conversation, and you had said something about it being a rough morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Cindy was like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Because there's still a little bit of PTSD in there from when it wasn't okay with you.
Yeah.
Stuff went bad.
Correct.
And Ivy turns around and he's like, Mom, it's not that kind of night.
Yeah, right.
That's done with.
We're done with that.
But, you know, and you can get angry by that. But, I mean, there's still, for years, I remember things were going rough. I remember my mother, boy, she was just nervous, because she didn't want that to go the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll pick up from there. We're going to go to commercial. Thanks again to all of our sponsors, and we'll see you back in just a few.
Sharp Farm. Sharp Farm's family owned and locally grown beef. From our pasture to your table, we heard you need beef. We have what you're looking for, whole, half, or quarter cow. If that's more than you need, let us help you build a custom meat box that fits your budget. Call or email us for more information at sharpfarms2022@gmail.com or call Miss B at 870-219-3497. Introducing the Sunroom. The house can get crowded, and if you need somewhere for family or friends to stay during the holidays, the Sunroom is a pet-friendly rental in Paragould, Arkansas, with a top-rated Airbnb Superhost rating. Beautiful scenery, overlooking a nice pond, peaceful, relaxing, and much better than a hotel. Heron Tire, best from the east to the west, serving Paragould and all of northeast Arkansas for over 56 years. Tire shops have come and gone. Heron Tire has remained. We keep getting bigger and better. Got a flat? You don't have time for that. We'll get it patched up and put you back on the road. Stuck on the farm? No time to play? Call us. We're on the way. If you need to get the crops planted and you're feeling stressed, call Heron Tire. We're simply the best. New tires? We got you. Used tires? We got you. Rims, lift kits, oil change? You guessed it. We got it. So come see us at either of our Paragould locations at 700 East Kings Highway or 300 Airport Road. Heron Tire Service, 870-239-8466 or 870-240-0090. Yes, best from the east to the west. Welcome back to the Big Circle. Hey, if you'd like to be a sponsor to the Big Circle, we sure would appreciate it. Just give us an email at thebigcirclepod@gmail.com. Or just reach out to us individually. We'd love to have you part of the team.
Holla as we at your go. Boy.
Holla at you.
Holla
boy.
At your boy.
Without a doubt.
Luscious link.
Preach. Preach.
Thank you. Thank you. Right. So we're picking up where we left off. So, I mean, we're just looking at the crazy of life. You have your prayer. You're getting clarity. I'm going to get my kids back.
Yeah,
you're working a full-time job, living with mom, just trying to figure out what dad looks like now.
Yeah.
Just
navigating through the whole process, you
right,
know.
Right.
Still working on the farm and doing that stuff and just taking care of my kids like I need to.
Right.
And just moving forward right. at this time, trying to develop a relationship with my grandpa. And
how long did that take?
It didn't take too long, 6 months or so.
6 months.
I mean,
hey, is your grandpa still living?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's yeah. awesome. So, because, you know, I think back at my story, you know, we need to be thankful for those moments because
absolutely.
I was never able to establish back that relationship with my dad.
Yeah.
And so we get to not take those little things for granted now that he's still living. You still got that opportunity to keep on shining like you're
yeah,
doing.
Man,
so I'm so thankful for
kind
that.
Kind of makes you realize on what all did you miss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
What all could have happened in that time.
Well, and you look at it, we got a tale of two stories here, but yeah. you're looking at, with your grandpa still alive, what all did I miss?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ivy's here with his father passed.
Right.
Thinking, what all did I miss? And certainly, I've been in his shoes where I would look
correct.
And say, man, I'd love to have that opportunity.
Yes.
You know, but I wasn't afforded that opportunity.
Yep.
I wasn't supposed to be afforded that opportunity.
That's right.
It is right. what it is.
That's why we're at today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just
hard
keep
truths.
Moving forward.
Yep.
Yeah. Keep moving forward. So your grandpa then realizes, hey, you didn't steal this stuff. He starts seeing who you are.
Yeah.
What happens after that?
Well, pretty much. I mean, 2016, I met my wife now, mm-hmm. Brittany Sharp, you know.
Okay.
She's on the straight and narrow and going to church and mm-hmm. been in church a whole lot longer than I have, you know.
So y'all meet.
Yeah. I'm still smoking a little pot and
yeah.
doing this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she it took me a little while.
She's got... How many kids?
She's got three kids.
For our listeners, you have.
I got four kids.
Talking about the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. So we start. I get a hold of her one day, and she's like, well, let's go out for coffee. I think she called her daddy first to make sure I was on up and up. You know what I mean?
Right. So just so we know, Brother Teddy, do you like coffee?
No, I do not like coffee.
But
I did at the time. I'm drinking some cold coffee right now.
You still hate black
coffee.
It's
pretty good.
Brittany said our whole dating life was a lie. He was drinking coffee like he enjoyed it. As soon as they got married, I don't want any more coffee. I said we've all gone through this because Sarah loved wrestling and sports. When we were dating, as soon as we got married, she didn't want to watch it anymore. It was over.
I can't say that I didn't like coffee. I did at the time. I mean, I really did.
I think you liked Brittany more than you did the coffee.
I did, yeah. But I still like a cup of coffee every now and then. You know what I mean?
But you do like cream and sugar more than coffee.
I do. I don't
absolutely.
Like black coffee. My grandpa drinks black coffee. I cannot stand
that's
black
what
coffee.
I
mean.
Motor oil.
Yeah. So anyway, so you meet Brittany.
Yeah.
You're still trying to navigate life.
We started seeing each other, doing this and that, you know, just hanging out and doing stuff.
Drinking
with the
coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was still smoking weed at this time.
Yeah.
Wasn't supposed to be, but I was. But.
So wasn't you say you wasn't supposed to be? What? Explain that.
Well,
she tells you. She ain't dealing with a guy.
That's right.
Okay.
She did.
How did that conversation come about? Y'all meet and what? How does that conversation
well,
sound?
Well, she let me know that she was a Christian woman and she don't do that stuff anymore because she used to be there too, just like I was. You know what I mean? She don't do that no more. And that was still my vice at the time, to kind of keep my head straight and keep me sane. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it kept you sane.
Absolutely, because I was still trying to, with four kids, you know, and I can't say my mama didn't help me, because she sure did. If it wasn't for her and the good Lord, I don't know where I'd be.
So she tells you ain't dealing with a dude that's a pothead, and your mind's going.
That's right. Well, we actually went to men's conference one time. Or no, let me back up a little bit. I left my kids at her house one night, and I went back to my mom's at Leechville. And I thought, well, I'm just going to get out and ride the Grover Road, you know, and smoke me a joint and relax, because I didn't have the kids, you know what I'm saying? I was taking advantage of it. And got pulled over.
Oh, ain't that
all things. Yeah. And went to jail. And they impounded my mama's car. Got him. They got me. They sure did. And the guy that got me, he was not very nice.
But he loves you. If you're listening.
I do love you. I do love you. And the far.
So you're going out. This is hilarious.
It is. It's terrible. You can't make it up. I promise you, you can't.
One time, you're just going to relax. Boom.
I did.
That's normally how it works.
He said, the cop that pulled me over, he said, you were swerving. I said, I was going around that squirrel. There was a squirrel in the road. And there really was a squirrel.
Listeners, there was a squirrel.
But it smelled like a skunk in the car.
It did. It did. He pulled me over. I went to jail, needless to say. He got my mom's car impounded. I had a vehicle, but I don't know. I drove mom's car because it's just what I done.
So you already had these two felony charges. This is a...
This was a DWI.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or DUI. It would have been.
Yeah.
And I got... And the Lord blessed me. I'm going to tell you that right now, because the farmer that I worked for at the time, Todd Edwards... Him and his dad was real big in the city of Leechville. Mm-hmm. And that's who pulled me over, was a cop from Leechville. They went to court with me and vouched for me in the whole nine yards, and they got all charges dropped on that. So that was a blessing.
Yeah.
And from that time, I messed up one more time after that.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, because Brittany made me come to you. Sure did.
She took you to the woodshed.
She did. I come home one night. We was living over here on 2nd Street. Is that right? And I come home, and I drove my mom's car home that night because I couldn't drive the farm truck no more. Because I got in trouble at Leechville, you know what I mean? And I was putting, at that time, I was working on my vehicle, so I didn't have anything to drive other than mom's car. But I come home, and I just bought a bag of weed like a dummy. Mm. And Brittany had to go to the dollar store. She said, I'm fixing to go to the dollar store. I said, okay. She said, I'm going to drive your mom's car. I said, that's fine. Me didn't think nothing about the smell.
Yeah.
Because I had it hid, you know what I mean? And she come back, and she was fit to be tied. She said, Teddy out. I said, what? She's like, where's it at? I don't know. What are you talking about?
I need that for today.
She like went, anytime you say, I don't know, you are busted.
You know.
As far as I know, she went out to the car, and she tore that car apart, and she found it. And she made me dump it down the toilet, and from that time on, it was a rough 2 or 3 weeks.
That hurt.
And
you.
I think you was on me too, pretty hard.
Yeah.
And it was a rough 2 or 3 weeks, but I quit smoking pot, and I've been clean and sober for, what, 7 going on 8 years.
Man, that's awesome. I'm proud of you.
And I mean.
That's good. All right, so we're going to close this one out. That was the middle. The next one's going to be the after. And I'm excited about everything that's happened in Teddy's life and all the growth. Thank you for sharing, just being honest and open.
So now you got the before, you got the middle, and now you get to see the man that Teddy is today. All that, the before and middle, that's good to know, but also what's the best part about it is what's yet to come and what's happening.
That's right.
Make sure to give us a thumbs up on Facebook. Share it if you got something good out of it. Give us a 5-star review. 4 stars, throw in the garbage. Yeah. If you'd like to be a sponsor.
5-star just, only around here.
That's right. And I'm your host, Ivy Aaron Jr.
Derek Folliwell.
And Teddy Sharp.
Peace.